Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. Touchdown, Giants! 97 yards!
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. If you want to participate in the show using that medium, feel free. I'm John Schmelk. We're joined by Paul Dottino this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live. And Paul's been in his glory the past 3 days watching Giants practice.
Yeah, it's really good, John, because this is what it's all about. You know, you got to get...
Well, the games is what it's all about.
No. You got to set the foundation. Haven't you been listening to Coach?
No.
You hear enough from Coach, don't you?
I hear enough from you. That's what I hear enough from.
I got to dodge these arrows in the studio. The thing about what's happening here, John, is that you got guys who have a lot to prove, whether they're rookies, whether they're new veterans, whether they're old veterans who are coming off of injuries. What's disappointing to me, to be perfectly honest with you, as I go out there and I watch, Chris Snee's coming off a hip injury. He's on PUP right now. He did tell me yesterday he does hope to take some snaps in at least 2 preseason games. So he's probably going to be back relatively quickly, and he moves very well with the trainers on the side. Marcus Kuhn has been with the trainers on the side also. I don't know exactly what his schedule is, but it's disappointing because this is a guy who I know they have a lot of high hopes for, and you kind of want to see him out there. So that's kind of a bummer, you know, not to see some of the guys that you want to see. JPP, obviously, with the back name.
But the injury news has been pretty good so far. You haven't had anything serious. Akeem Nicks had to leave practice early 2 days ago with the groin. He practiced yesterday. He was limited, but he was out there, which is the most important thing. So far, so good. You look at some of these other camps with these guys dropping like flies. The Giants haven't had to deal with that, which is great news.
For the guys who've been able to practice, they've been clean. And that is great news. I'm just saying that there are some guys coming in on the side that we knew were not going to be able to practice at the beginning. And I'm disappointed because these are some guys I'd like to see. I'd love to see JPP. I'd love to see Marcus Kuhn. You know, Henry Yanosky, we knew, was going to be able to practice. You know, this is a guy who needs to continue his development as one of the better fullbacks in the league. So, you know, you miss some of those guys. And those are guys who are going to be an important part of what the Giants try to do.
201-939-4513. We are going to take your calls this morning on Giants.com. Big Blue Kickoff Live. Also, hashtag Giants. Chat on the phones, 201-939-4513. And I will caution a couple things here, because I know, Paul, you get these tweets, too, from a lot of fans. And I understand. Fans are excited. They haven't had football for a few months, and they're into it. But I want to caution you something. This is only practice. It's not even August yet. Pads have not yet gone on. So it's very difficult to tell a whole lot this early. And quite frankly, Paul, I know you've been around this a lot longer than I have. A lot longer. And we've seen players dominate and look like stars in practice. And then they go out there on game days and they give you nothing. We've seen it time and time again, whether it's Sonoris Moss or somebody else. We've seen it. So while you can judge certain things in practice, and the reason I preface this whole show with this is because that's what we're going to be doing for the next 55 minutes. We're going to talk about what we see from practice, what guys are showing you, and what they can do. But you can't make big conclusions based on 3 days of non-padded practice at the end of July. That's it. And I've talked to people watching practice. And they go to me, they go, John, these are like, you know, people that, you know, scouts, people that work for the team. John, you really can't tell anything from watching these practices.
It's flag football.
You got to wait for them to get the pads on. And, you know, pads in practice is one thing, too. You're working against your own guys. There's still really no fear of getting laid out. for a lot of these guys, you don't know what you're going to get out of them until you get into the preseason games, which is why that first game is so exciting when it does come a week from Sunday.
For me, too. I can't wait till the Steelers game.
A week from Saturday, right? Yes, a week from Saturday. Yeah. I was thinking of the Colts game, which is the following
Sunday.
That's
a Sunday night, actually, prime time game.
Right.
I think the thing that you fans want to watch when you come out, and obviously if you have a chance to come out to the padded practices, for example, today the shoulder pads are going to go on for the first time.
No, Thursday's
full pads.
Oh, the shoulder pads are going on today. That's correct.
Shoulder pads today.
I was talking of full pads.
Tomorrow they're off. Thursday, full pads.
And you will not have full contact until you get the full pads on Thursday.
That's correct.
Right.
And that's why, you know, that's going to be a really good day, folks. If you're looking at your schedule over the course of the rest of the week and you're trying to figure out what's the best day to come out here to see something after John just told you that flag football is the dinner of choice right now, thanks to the CBA, Thursday's the day, because that's the day that you'll see full pads and there'll be some cracking going on. Again, it's not like they're playing somebody else, which is why this preseason game against Pittsburgh in a couple of weeks is just so important to me, because there are guys who I can't wait to see in a game. But nonetheless, Thursday's not a bad day to come out. 1:30 to 3:45 is when the Giants usually practice. There's a day later on at the end of camp where they're going to be later, but usually count on 1:30 to 3:45. And, you know,
it's
that'd
free.
Be a good day.
Come out. Enjoy it. They have a little pro shop, I believe, set up. A different position group will sign autographs after each practice. Go to giants.com/training camp for all that information.
Funny story to tell you, John.
What do you got?
They put awnings on top of the bleachers this year.
Yeah.
So that people can get some shade. It can get hot sometimes, especially
sure.
out in the parking lot. So, you know, a lot of people bust on my horns about my tan and everything. You know, I get a lot of sun and so forth and so on, and that's fine. I have no problem with
that. You look like you just took a bath in bronzer.
Not true, though. Anyway, I get a tweet from a fan because I was busting on Joe and Evan yesterday from WFAN, who were out here doing the training camp show.
Evan, not the tannest guy in the world.
Holy smokes, is he as white as a sheet?
Yeah. Joe's tan, though.
Well, he's got some Paisan going, which is the way it should be.
Well, us fair-skinned folk from the northern parts of Europe, and, you know, Evan, obviously, from, I believe he's Irish in origin.
I think so.
We don't tend to tan quite as well. We more just turn a bright shade of red, which is also not which is also not very healthy.
This is true.
Okay.
So, in any case, they were set up in the shade, up on the patio.
I set them up in the shade.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah, I set them up in the shade. You got a problem with that?
Well, I suggested that maybe next time they might want to soak in some sun when they come out to
train.
Do you want to
give Evan Roberts melanoma? Come on.
No, I don't want to do that.
You don't want to stick those guys. They're down there for 7 hours, 8 hours. You want them in the sun for 8 hours?
Well, you just have
That's punishment.
You make sure you put your SPF on and you're okay. All right. Well, anyway, here's my point.
Okay, go ahead.
I was busting on them about how maybe next time when you come out to camp, you guys might want to catch a little sun, right? So then a fan writes in, yeah, I was out there, and I'm still covering myself in solicane.
You really enjoyed that one.
It's like, but there's awnings on top of the bleachers. How do you get burned?
Well, sometimes if the bleachers are filled up, which has happened a couple of days so far in practice, you got to line up next to them,
yesterday.
But there's no shade.
Not yesterday. You know, they did announce over 7,000 were here
autograph
on
night,
Sunday?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow,
pretty
John.
Good.
It was packed.
It was packed, and the players signed autographs. Fans were great. There was a little fear of rain there for a second. It drizzled a little bit,
but
a lot of unhappy fans that they would have to cancel that. That would have been bad.
Yeah, no doubt.
Luckily, though, everything went through. It was a lot of fun. And again, you come out to practice. Go to giants.com/training camp for the full schedule. Let's go to our phones, 201-939-4513. Ramesh down in Norfolk, Virginia. Ramesh, what's going on, pal? Hello, Ramesh, you there?
Hey, John. Hey, Paul. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great, man. How are you?
Good. I have two questions.
Sure.
I know it's early in the camp, but who has so far impressed you guys the most? And I know when guys are going to put on the pads, who will continue showing that improvement? And my second question is, like, I know Coach the other day said that we may need a third running back option. And do you guys know who that's going to be? Someone in the roster, or are we going to add someone before the training camps forward.
I will lead off on your running back question, then I'll let Paul give you the guy that he's in love with at camp, because I know who it is already. I will not ruin it. Right now, Ryan Terrain has been the third running back in most of the drills. Michael Cox has been fourth. We'll see what happens once you get to the regular season. I think if a running back the Giants believe is an upgrade gets cut free by the time the regular season comes, I wouldn't be shocked if they added somebody. Right now, okay. I don't think that person is on the market. There's no one out there that they like. So that's more of a wait-and-see proposition. And Michael Cox, I guess, could be that guy, but he has to show that he can learn this system and be ready for an NFL-style offense. I think he has the size and the speed, but mentally he has to be able to get it. And I don't think he's quite there yet.
And if I can piggyback on that, John, Michael Cox has started taking some kickoff return reps now, which is very, very important, because if he wants to beat out Terrain as the third back, or for that matter, Mr. X, who may not be here yet, it would be really, really beneficial to him to be able to produce on kickoff returns, so that if they could get Wilson off the kickoff returns and put Cox back there, it's a way for him to make the team.
And special teams important for all these young players, of course.
Obviously. In terms of your other question, you wanted to know guys impressed. I'm going to give you one guy on offense and one guy on defense who I'm really, really excited about. And he knows on defense. Uh-huh. John's sitting here. DeMontre Moore. I mean, he is just – you know, John said they're not doing anything in pads and it's hard to see some things. I agree with him about 90% of the way. There are some guys who – pads or no pads – you look at them, and they just don't seem to have it. They just don't seem to whatever it is. Now, just because they show some quick movements and some athleticism doesn't mean it's going to happen in a game, but I'd rather see it than not.
No question about it.
You know?
You want to have that raw athleticism that you can flash whether you're wearing pads or not.
Especially if you're going to be a pass rusher.
Correct.
I mean, that's a really big facet to being a pass rusher. Some guys can do it with brute strength, but most guys need athleticism. DeMontre Moore has two moves that I just absolutely love at the defensive end spot. He's got a move around the edge to the outside where he just takes off, and I'm telling you, he's fast as lightning around the edge. Then he's got a knifing move that he takes to the inside, and he is just abusing all of the backup guys who they're throwing against him along the offensive line.
You could throw Justin Pugh in that mix, too. He kind of had his way with the Giants' first-round pick a couple times as well.
Yeah, actually, he did. He did. And, you know, so I'm really looking forward to seeing him when he gets pads on, and then, of course, in the game against Pittsburgh. I'm going to have him under my microscope on every snap that he's in there. The other guy on offense would be Reuben Randall, who, John, we've been talking about him since OTAs and minicamp. This guy is really stepping up.
I was talking to somebody in the sideline yesterday, Paul, and I agree with it because I kind of saw it too before this person said it to me. With his long strides and his frames and his arms, he reminds me of Burse in practice.
See, he reminds me a little bit more of Amani Toomer.
Bigger than Toomer, though.
Bigger,
much
but bigger. His style of play. His style of play is a little bit more like Toomer's than Burris's was. But here's the beauty of it. We talked about him last year as a rookie coming in, a guy who had all the tools and all the talent in the world. I predicted he'd be all NFL rookie, might catch 40 passes. What I did not know is he really would be a true rookie and would take some time to develop and mature and come along. You never know that when a guy comes in. You kind of hope he might be ready-made, but sometimes it just takes time. This is the Reuben Randall I saw last spring when they drafted him. This guy's good.
You got anything else, Ramesh?
Nope, that would be it, John and Paul. Thanks for taking my call, and I'll hang up and continue listening.
Hey, thanks for calling up, man. We appreciate it. And look, Randall to me has been impressive. And they talked about his athleticism and him being NFL-ready coming out of LSU. Turned out not really quite as NFL-ready as we thought, but he looks like, and this is what another thing you can tell, when a guy just looks like he's a better athlete than the other guys that are trying to cover him and are around him, that shows you something. And Reuben Randall out there against these corners, and these are some good corners he's going against too, because he got a lot of first-team reps with Hakeem Nicks being hurt. He's going against Prince Mukamara here. We're not talking about the, you know, Tremaine McBrides of the world and the Junior Myrtles of the world here. And he looked like he was a better athlete, and quite frankly, just the eye test, he looked like he was the better player out there.
You see, what you just said there a second ago, John, is very significant because, you know, when Reuben Randall was here last year as a rookie, he was always going against the backups and sometimes, you know, even practice squad guys in practice. Now he's truly going against the big boys, and he's getting it done. And you're absolutely right. Again, I know it's practice. I know it's not pads. But Ruben Randle has clearly shown a new level to his game. He has taken it up a full notch in practice. We can only compare, basically, what he's doing in practice now compared to what he did in practice last year because he didn't play a lot. That gives us reason to hope.
And I don't want to judge too much here and make too much of a stretch, but we could see some foreshadowing here. Hakeem Nicks nursing a groin. Ruben Randle taking advantage of the opportunity that presenting. And that could be a bigger thing that takes place next spring with Hakeem Nicks wants a lot of money. If Ruben Randle is a big year, it's going to make it a lot easier to let Hakeem walk if you want to spend that money elsewhere.
Do I dare say Ramses Barden's actually had a couple of good days at training camp as well?
A lot of people have told me they've been impressed by Ramses Barden. But he'll have to beat a guy like Jarrell Jernigan, who has had some trouble catching the ball again, which he's had in years past as well.
No surprise.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Mark down in Richmond, Virginia. What's going on, Mark?
Guys, I'm dying down here. It's Redskins country. We've got the training camp down here. I needed to get my giant fix.
Come up to Jersey, Mark. Practice is open.
I know. I was up there last week with my in-laws. I didn't get a chance to get to training camp. But I'm telling you, it's nuts. So I had to call you guys and get grounded again.
RG3 so, fever down there in Virginia, right?
Well, it's Redskins fever. It's almost like a plague. So I'm trying to
plague.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm doing better now talking to you guys. First of all, it's an honor and pleasure talking to you guys.
I want to touch on
Terrell Thomas status because I hear a lot about Prince. I hear a lot about how the teams are picking off passes from the second and third string quarterbacks. But how do you feel about are we going to be a full strength with Terrell, or are we going to still kind of wait it out? What do you think?
Terrell has not spoken to the media since he's been here. I haven't had a chance to talk to him either. My sense is that he's pretty disappointed. I think he believed he would be ready to go the first day of camp and practicing, and I thought he would be as well, simply based on what he did in minicamp, the type of confidence he showed, and the way he spoke about it. I thought he was, based on what he said, feeling great, and he'd be ready to go. I think he's pretty disappointed that he's not. And
does your gut tell you that that's a coach decision, that they're kind of holding him back, or it's his thing, or what do you think?
I think it's a doctor's thing. I think it's a medical thing. And I think what you have to worry about here, remember, he's coming back from his third ACL injury. You have to hope that he hasn't reached the ceiling on his recovery, and simply because he's had so many operations that he can't get any better than he is now. I'm not sure if that's the case or not. But that's what happens a lot. When you build up a lot of scar tissue, you get the same thing worked on a bunch of times, you reach a point where your 100% isn't good enough to play in the NFL. And you hope that's not the case. And there's no evidence to say that is the case, but that's something I think you have to worry about a little bit with Terrell Thomas.
Well, and I think Tom Coughlin said it all yesterday, John, when it was addressed, and he said, you know, he's just not ready. It's just that simple. I mean, we were hoping. And he's just not ready, and we're waiting for the doctors to give us clearance. That indicates to me, as well as to you, it's not Thomas's decision. It's not Tom Coughlin's decision. This is a medical decision. And, of course, that's always going to be the right one because they know better as to how the player should deal with his injury. But at the same time, training camp is only so long. I will say this. The one thing that Terrell Thomas has in his favor is that he's on PUP right now, and they could always PUP him going into the 53-man roster at the start of the season, if they still think there's some hope that he can give them something this year.
And I think that's pretty likely at this point, to be honest with you.
So
that's a guess.
That would mean he would have to sit out the first 6 weeks, and then perhaps he could come in, and if the Giants need a corner at that point in time, they could always activate him and hope he's able to produce. That's the good news, okay, is that he hasn't had a setback. And I think right now that's about the best news you're going to get out of him.
Okay, I like watching the battles that Randall's having with Prince and all that, but it's I want to just mirror what you said about Randall, because I saw that last game against Philly, and it may have been an empty game in terms of our seeding, but he really looked like he could be as good as, if not better than, Nicks or Cruz. I mean, I know that's pie in the sky talk, but I think you're right about what you're seeing from Randall. Do I have time for one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to just I was listening to Paul yesterday with Joan Evan about his feelings about the NFC East. I wanted to hear what John thought about what he thought would be the biggest team, the team that would probably give us the biggest trouble going forward in the NFCs. I know you thought the Redskins, if RG3 was healthy, Paul, would be on the same kind of level as the Giants. You weren't worried about Philly and Dallas so much, but I wanted to see if John mirrored your opinion or had some different thoughts about it.
Yeah, you know what? I think the NFC East is going to be very tight. I believe all these teams will probably be within 3 or 4 games of one another. I think the Eagles, simply because they're adjusting to Chip Kelly's system, quite frankly, I don't know how much Michael Vick has left in the tank. If I had to guess and predict now, I'd say they'd probably finish on the bottom of the division, probably around 7-9, something like that. I think the Redskins take a little bit of a step back. I think the league catches up to a little bit of what they're doing in terms of that read option play. Who knows if Robert Griffin III can stay healthy. I think they'll be good. I think they'll win 8 or 9, somewhere in that range. But I think at the end of the year, if I had to make a prediction right now, I think the Giants and Cowboys both finish with 10 wins. Giants win the tiebreaker for the division, and they go on their way. Look, the Cowboys had a chance to win this division last year on the final week of the season. That was with DeMarcus Ware playing with one arm the entire year. That was with Sean Lee, their starting middle linebacker, being out for half the season. Bruce Carter, their other inside linebacker, being out for half the season. Orlando Scandrick, their nickel cornerback, being out for the entire season. Their starting safety, Barry Church, being out for the entire season. And they're having some injury issues now. Jay Ratliff missed the whole year for them, too, by the way, last year. They're having some injury issues in training camp this season, but you have to think that they're going to be a little bit healthier. And I think Dez Bryant is going to have an absolutely ridiculous, monumental type of wide receiver season. So I think the Cowboys will be right there in the mix with the Giants. Frankly, making that opening game at Dallas very important for tiebreaker purposes down the road.
Yeah, it always is. Real quick, if I can, did you guys think that what Jerry Reese said the other day, kind of motivating the players, are you seeing a difference in the players but after what Reese did? Are you kind of... you think that was the right thing for him to do to kind of put everybody on notice? You think it was time, or you think that's something that's maybe going to come back and bite him?
Well, I think all the players kind of have already heard that the Super Bowl is going to be in MetLife Stadium for a while now. there's been a lot of pub about this ever since they were awarded the game, some time back. So, was that like a newsflash? No. But was it an interest?
Not so much about what he said, but the fact that Jerry Reese has started to become a little bit more open and kind of, in the face of, not in the face of the players, but more kind of, the thing I love about the Giants is that the office lets the players do the work and let Coughlin coach and all that. We're never going to become the Cowboys and have a Jerry Jones show.
Right.
But, to me it was kind of like, maybe it is time for there to be a little bit more fire and brimstone in the front office.
I just
wanted to know your guys' opinions about it.
Yeah, Mark, to me, I think that was more for the media than it was for the players. I don't think Jerry Reese is going into the meeting room saying that to the players. I think that message is being brought across to them when they come in here. But it's probably coming more from Coach Coughlin than it is from Jerry Reese. But when Jerry Reese addresses the media, he's a de facto head of this organization. So he has to show that urgency when he talks to the media. So I think in that regard, that's probably more where that was coming from.
And quite honestly, anytime you can unify the players with a point, no matter how big or how small it is, it's probably a good thing. And the fact that he wants to put the calendar with the numbers up on the locker room wall, I think Steve Weatherford has already tweeted it out, if I'm not mistaken, the first sign that I think went up yesterday. Even if it just gets a bunch of players talking about it or chuckling about it or saying, hey, who's going to rip the number off the wall today? Even something like that causes camaraderie and byplay is not a bad thing. I mean, I don't know how much value there is, but it's not bad.
It's just so different from what I'm used to with the Giants in terms of, who does the talking. I mean, I think Jerry Reese has been, obviously, he's been an awesome general
manager. Let me interrupt you 1 second. I'm sorry, but this is important now.
No, that's fine.
John Mara, some years ago, when the Giants had that 8-8 season and Bill Sheridan was the defensive coordinator and they really did not do well, you'll remember the next day, John Mara came down to the press room and he said, this is unacceptable. Changes have to be made. That was one of the few times you will ever hear the Giants from upstairs echo some very serious warning salvos or signs to the locker room. That happened. It had to be done. And the Giants, you know, obviously got the ship right. And now Jerry Reese is kind of saying, well, look, one postseason in 4 years, not so cool. You know, I mean, I'm okay with that.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Yeah. Appreciate the call, man. 201-939-4513. I think we're only on the air in Virginia today. What do you think? We have three calls from Virginia. Now we go to Mike down in Richmond. Mike, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's going on?
Hey, nothing much. I wanted to call from yesterday. I've been listening. Don't worry, because I haven't been calling and I'm still staying loyal to the show.
I appreciate it.
Listen, first of all, guys, bring your A game, because this guy calling about Adrian Robinson yesterday, I don't know what he was talking about.
What did we have on Adrian Robinson yesterday? Well, I didn't listen to the show.
He was talking with Paul yesterday about how Adrian Robinson was going to potentially beat up Brandon Myers, and he was just talking up.
I think, caller, he was trying to, without using the words, compare him to Kellen Winslow. He either had to be Adrian Robinson's dad, brother, cousin, or agent.
Yeah.
He had to be.
That's what I'm saying. Like, bring your A game to the show, you know. These are loyal Giants fans here. But I do want to make a point, though, that you guys are talking about. Listen, I think one reason we have only been one time in 4 years to the playoffs, Jerry Reese has got to draft better. For example, we drafted David Wilson in the first round, who I like a lot. But Alfred Morris was available in the sixth round. We've drafted Adrian Robinson as a perfect example. While it was a project, we had to go sign somebody because this guy's not ready. Marvin Austin's not ready. And next year we've got some, big contracts that are going to come off the books. And we're talking about guys like Brewer and people that he's drafted that don't seem ready. And I'm concerned, with Jerry Reese, while we've been kind of living off the fruits of the 2007 kind of 2008 draft, besides Hakeem Nicks, JPP, maybe Wilson, and potentially Randall, Mukumara, let's see what he can do. But I'm not sure that, Jerry Reese has really drafted enough depth, because it seems like we've been signing a lot of positions. And I wanted to know what you guys think about that, because that call made me think about that. I'm like, yeah, Adrian Robinson should be a guy that maybe should maybe be second on our depth chart versus third.
I think you make a good point, but the thing about it, you can list a lot of misses Jerry Reese had, but if you look around the league, it's still fewer than most other teams have. I think what a lot of people don't realize, and it gets overlooked sometimes only because there's so much attention paid to it and these people are dubbed as draft experts and all this stuff, it's hard. The draft is really, in a lot of ways, a crapshoot. You can do all the research you want on these guys, but in the end, can you really know what's in their heart and their head? And that's what's going to determine if they're going to be a very good NFL player.
I'll give you an example. When did we draft Phil Diller? Was that the 2009 draft or the 2010?
Out of Nebraska.
Yeah, 2009, I believe that was, yes.
Yeah, and Sean Lee was on the board, and we don't draft him.
Wait a minute.
No, Sean Lee was
a second-round pick.
He was on the board when the Giants took Linval Joseph in the second round.
Lee was a second-rounder.
Yes.
Dillard was like a fourth or a fifth.
Okay.
Yeah, but Lee was on the board when the Giants took Linval Joseph in round two, when Dillard was on the board.
Just think that, and I go with Linval, so that argument I take it back, because Linval looks pretty well.
He's a good player.
We had to go sign three defensive tackles because Marvin Austin's not ready.
That was a miss.
Too, because we've got a lot of injuries, and what happens
Here's what I want you to do. Hold on. I'm gonna let you finish here, but I wanted you to do one thing, though, before you get on Jerry Reese any further. To John's point, there have been analysts from, I think, ESPN and certainly some of your pro football experts over the course of time. Some of the really good football magazine guys have done it too, who assign a point system to the draft. And what they do is they say, okay, you get a point for every guy who is drafted and still in the league after 3 years. You get an extra point if the guy is still on your team after 3 years. Then you get an extra point if the guy is the starter after 3 years.
Okay.
Then you get an extra point if the guy made the Pro Bowl, et cetera, et cetera.
That makes sense.
There's a point system. And I haven't done it myself, but there have been very respected football people who have come up with these point systems, a scorecard, if you will, to grade drafts. Now, what they do is they grade them in chunks of 5 years at a time. Because, as we all know, it takes time for guys to develop and then move into the starting lineup and to prove whether or not they were really worth anything. And every single scorecard that I have seen over the course of the last, I'd say, 10 years, going back even to Ernie Accorsi, and in through the Jerry Reese era, has always had the Giants as one of the top five organizations in the National Football League. Everyone. Okay. I have never seen the Giants ranked lower than fifth in terms of drafting, and that and that goes by every scorecard that I've ever seen. So
that being true, here's my question then. For discussion, I'm not disagreeing, but if Jerry Reese is one of the best draft GMs, okay, my question is, for discussion, is are we missing the playoffs because we're not signing the right guys to fill the holes? Coughlin's not coaching, or is it the draft? Because I agree with him. I mean, we've had great teams, like we're right there, and
good
we
question.
Don't make it.
Well, when you miss the playoffs at 9-7, is kind of a so-so kind of feeling. But when you miss the playoffs at 10-6, you feel really bad because you think you've done enough.
Right, we missed the playoffs at 10-6. You know.
Okay, but is that there? Let me ask you though: isn't that circumstances? I mean, when a team goes 10-6, like when Tom Coughlin said, you know, in the locker room after they won that 10th game and said, look, I don't care what anybody else says. We won 10 games in the National Football League. That's a hard thing to do, and they can kiss my you-know-what. And he said something else. But you know what I'm talking about. And I respect him for that because he's absolutely right. A 10-6 football team in the NFL is a good season, a quality football team, and there's nothing to be ashamed of at going 10-6.
I think the Giants need to execute better because I think we take that 10-6 season, for example. Matt Dodge is not kicking the ball the right place. Mario Manningham on the sideline fumbling the ball inbound.
Well, I understand that. Sometimes what happens is because of the strength of your conference or your division, or for that matter, the weaknesses of the other divisions in your conference, that's kind of what happens. You know, for how many years did the 49ers play in a division that was filled with the Sisters of the Poor? I mean, they were automatically going to get 6 wins every single season just for putting out 53 men. 6 wins in the bank. We're 6-0 just to start the season. We're 6-0.
Thanks.
I mean, it was ridiculous.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Yeah, you got it, guys. You're good.
Appreciate it. I do understand Mike's point, though. And this goes to the point that Jerry Reese made in his opening press conference. One playoff appearance in the last few years. And let's be honest. One second. If we go back to the night that Plaxico Burress did something very stupid and shot himself in the leg. If you take out a 5-game run at the end of 2011, it's been a pretty disappointing 4.5 years. When you have a top 5-6 quarterback in the league and you make the playoffs 1 out of 4 years and you have the collapse in the 2008, that's disappointing, big picture-wise.
I think big picture-wise, what you want to be able to do, John, is make the playoffs in every chunk that you want to take out of your franchise, whether it's a 10-year chunk, a 6-year chunk.
Let me look at this way.
You want to make the playoffs at least half the time, I think. I think that's a pretty
realistic. I think
realistic.
When you have a top 5-6 quarterback, you want to make it 3 out of 4.
Wow.
Does Tom Brady make the playoffs 3 out of 4 years? Does Aaron Rodgers make it 3 out of 4 years?
Yeah, Peyton Manning.
Does Peyton Manning make it 3 out of 4 years? Do the Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger generally make it 3 out of every 4 years? Question is yes on all those.
Yeah, I hear you.
The Falcons have made it 3 out of the last 4 years with Matt Ryan as their quarterback. The Ravens have done with Joe Flacco.
Okay.
Why do you think that everybody's so disappointed with Tony Romo? He's only won one playoff game in his career. When you're that good of a quarterback, which is so important to an NFL team, you have to have more success.
Yeah.
And I'm only repeating what Jerry Reese said in his press conference. You want to have more success than that.
I think
And Drew Brees, he's about 50-50, which was your original statement.
Yeah, I think
but his
think,
defense stinks. So
I think if you take a selection of years, you'd like to be able to say, okay, realistically, we're at least 50-50 to get in.
Right.
I think anything lower than that, you got to be scratching your head and saying something's really wrong here. You know, you want to be at least 50-50. I'll say this, John. I don't know how you feel personally about it. But personally, I look at this team and I say, okay, last 4 years, what do you got? 8, 9, 10, and 9 wins.
It's not bad.
I mean, look, you got to remember something. I grew up in the early 70s.
Right.
And I know what it's like.
See, here's the thing.
A three-win team, a four-win team, a five-win team.
But who is your quarterback for those teams? The Giants have a very high floor.
Well, they had Fran Tarkenton in the early, in the late 60s, early 70s.
He was like 38 years
old. No, he was in his prime at the time. Made two Pro Bowls.
Fair enough. But in this day and age in the NFL, if you have a top quarterback, your floor is relatively high. Right or wrong?
Yeah, I think so.
If you're a really good quarterback, you're not winning fewer than seven games. You're just not.
Yeah, I guess I see your point. I'm not going to disagree that it's been disappointing to be a postseason team one out of four. There's no way to cut that.
But you're
That's
right.
disappointing.
There is a lot of difference between 8-8, 9-7, 10-6 than 4-12, 5-11, 6-10. I agree with you.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
And I'm not doing this to pick on the other people in the state, but Rex Ryan and the Jets. You know, he had his back-to-back AFC championship game appearances,
right,
and now Dreg. Now, okay, so two really good playoff runs, and now 2 years of Drake.
Well,
so
obviously the last 2 years have been terrible.
Okay,
clearly.
So that's out of his last 4 year section, he's got two really good years and two really crappy years.
But he had two really good years with Mark Sanchez as his quarterback.
When they also had a sensational defense.
No question about it.
They got a lot of breaks too.
No question about it. Right on both counts.
I guess what I'm saying, would you rather be 1-4 with a Super Bowl or 2-4 with two championship runs but not get the ring?
Oh, you take the ring. No
you take the ring.
It. But here's the thing, and we talked about this a lot in the offseason. Is your overall health of a franchise, is it more reflective of 3 out of 4 years not making the playoffs or getting hot at the end of one season?
Boy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. John.
It's tough.
It's kind of like six and a half a dozen.
No, it really
it's
is.
It's really a difficult thing to call. I go back, and when people talk to me about this, and I try to decipher what really is the reality of it, I guess ultimately I wind up falling back on Wellington Mara's credo and his old motto, which was, my goal as the owner of this franchise is to make sure that all of my fans get to come to the final home game of the season
with a chance,
knowing that my team has a chance to make the playoffs.
I like
that. He said, if we do that every single year, then, okay, we've accomplished a mission here.
And because, I think they have, haven't
you know,
they?
Well, that's the
thing. The 8-8 year, was the final year of the regular season, did it matter?
They were still alive, but it was a long shot.
Same like last season, same deal.
Okay.
Where they needed four teams to lose.
Yes. But again, if you're going to go by that credo, then that basically says we want to make sure that the low end of the bar is never miserable.
Right.
And maybe you know, Wellington Mara, you know, I'm not going to say maybe. I understand that, and there's a lot of me that subscribes to it.
No, I buy it. And look, you get into the playoffs, anything can happen. We witnessed that twice in 2007 and 2011. Let's go back to our phones. Tyler in Pittsburgh has been waiting patiently. Tyler, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Quick question.
Go ahead.
Team Nick, I was watching interviews, whatever, Coughlin saying he had a sore groin. That's something to worry about or now?
If it was any other player, I'd say no. But considering it's Akeem Nicks with his history of leg injuries, I think it has to concern you mildly. The fact that he practiced yesterday in a limited basis, I think, is a good sign that he didn't miss any full days of practice.
Agreed.
But any time Akeem Nicks is anything with his legs, I think at this point, considering his first 4 years in the league, you have to raise your eyebrows a little bit and be a little bit nervous.
Let's put it this way. I'm going out there today, and I'm wrapping him up in bubble wrap for the rest of camp.
No, but that's the thing, Paul. He has to get work, though. He hasn't gotten a ton of work.
I know. And Tom even said that, too. He really does need the practice.
Yeah.
I saw a few of those highlight reels there that you made of the top 10 or top 5 plays, and he was in a few of them. He was looking pretty good to me, at least.
Well, Eli himself said he's looking really good and that, you know, they're happy with where he's at. The key is just to make sure that when they play the Cowboys in week one, he's at full go. I mean, they're not playing Dallas tomorrow or Sunday. They're playing them in week one of the regular season. That's where it really matters.
Yeah. And then one more quick thing. JPP is saying he's 75%, and he doesn't know if he's going to make it for the Dallas game. What are you thinking about that? You think he's going to play or no?
Backs are tricky. I mean, JPP says 75%. That's obviously his opinion. That's not some type of scientific fact. So I go back to the old Jeremy Lin 85% thing with the knee in the playoffs, and everybody lost their, you know, what about that? So, I mean, Do I think he'll be there in week one? If I, you know, if you made me answer now, I think I'd say he played 15 to 20 snaps in a situational pass rushing role. Jerry Reese seemed fairly confident that he'd be back. But, look, backs are tricky. You have to see how the rehab goes over the next couple weeks.
The only thing I'll add to that is I agree with everything John just said, but if for some reason the Giants get closer to that final 53 and they're looking at this and they're like, you know what, we don't think he's going to be back for the first two or three games.
Ooh, they're going to pop
now
him.
Now they got to pop him. Because yeah. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you know or you're pretty certain that he's not going to be available for the first two or three games, you're going to need that extra defensive end. You're going to need that pass rusher. You're not going to be able to go into that game with 52 guys. And so you might as well pup him, give him the extra time. You're going to miss him for two or three games on the back end of the pup. But if guys like Tracy and Moore and Ajomo, who unfortunately has been rather invisible the first few games, first few days of practice, maybe those guys have to kind of get it done until JPP's ready.
Do you think Moore would get that start, hypothetically, saying where we're at right now?
No. Hold on. When I throw his name out there, I'm talking about him as a situational pass rusher. This guy is going to have a role on this team. I remember I talked with John about a month or so ago. We did a show. And I said I could see him getting as many as six sacks this year in spot duty because he's that explosive. Let's say he's on the field for 10 or 12 plays, if that. It
Tuck
might not even be that many.
Tuck and Kiwanuka will start from your question, by the way, just FYI.
Yes.
Thank you, John. let's make that clear. But here's the thing. Let's just say that DeMontre Moore is on the field for eight snaps a game. I'm telling you, those eight snaps, they're going to put him in position. He's going to have fresh legs. He's going to be in position to get after that quarterback. And I'm telling you, if he's able to prove to the coaches that he deserves that much time over the course of four quarters of a game, he's going to do a few things.
All right.
Thanks for the call, Tyler.
Well, I guess. Yep, I'll see you.
All right, be good, man. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. I mean, you got to think it's going to be, obviously, Tuck and Kiwanuka. That's not much of a question.
No.
And I'm telling you, they like Adrian Tracy as a situational
pass rusher.
And he has shown the ability to do it. And he's a good special teams player. To me, if Adrian Tracy's not on this team and active every week, I'd be shocked. Shocked.
Yeah.
He's good. He can play.
They have been extremely high on him since he first got to camp a few years ago, and injuries have derailed what they believed was a promising career.
Yeah, unfortunately, he had that shoulder that first year. In that rookie season, he was trying to go from a 3-4 linebacker to a defensive end, and it just curtailed his development. It basically took a year and a half off his development.
Yeah, crippling. Yeah. And the thing about it is, John, he came in this spring in the off-season program, and I think I said to you, he just looks bigger and bulkier, and then he told us weight-wise he really isn't any different, but he's much more defined, and he's kind of enhanced his torso. And so he's very much primed to try to make an impact.
201-939-4513, back to the phone. Let's go to Len and Maryland. Len, good morning, pal.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right, Len. How about you?
Okay, good, good. Listen, feeding into something that you and Paul were talking about maybe 10, 15 minutes ago, we opened the old Giant Stadium with Jerry Golston as our starting quarterback.
Remember it well.
We have come a long way since those days.
Yeah.
Jerry Golston.
But you know, Len, you do appreciate what I'm talking about. There were some really tough times here, and I think you would be very hard-pressed to look at these last 4 years as bummers.
Right. One of the things I remember about the pregame, Paul, was the well-known and very nice lady and tremendous singer, Martha Wright, singing the national anthem on what she described as Upset Sunday, because any time the Giants won on Sunday in those days at home, it was indeed an upset.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, quick question, talking about JPP. I could see us carrying 10 defensive linemen.
I agree.
As part of the 53, including JPP. Now, if he's really badly hurt and he's not going to be ready till game eight, then obviously we pup him. But I could see us carrying 10 linemen, 5 defensive ends, 5 defensive tackles. And I guess one of my questions was about the defensive tackles. I think we're probably pretty sure the top three are going to be Jenkins, Linville Joseph and Hankins. How does it break down after that? How do we find two more guys after that? Is Patterson the fourth tackle at this point? I know Kuhn's a little banged up, and he may be on the pup list also, but Patterson, Austin, and Rogers, can you rank those?
See, to me, the number four spot is really Rogers right now, and Marcus Kuhn would be, but at the moment he is pop.
I think Mike Patterson has a chance to be that guy too, to be honest with you. I think they believe they have a plugger in Hankins, and if they think Hankins can be their plugger, I don't know if there's room on the roster for another one in Sean Rogers.
It's a hard call, John. To this point during the practice sessions, it looks like Rogers is ahead of Patterson.
It does.
But, again, we're going to find out more during the preseason games. This is why we told you guys about a month or so ago, there are 9 DTs for what I think are going to be 4 spots. You think it's going to be 5. That's okay. The bottom line is there are too many guys here. And these preseason games are going to tell the story.
I actually feel bad for Kuhn. They might PUP him just so they can carry a fifth guy.
It's possible. And he looks good on the side, John. I'll be honest with
you. Well, I think Marcus was disappointed, too. I think he thought he was going to be ready for the start of camp as well. He's just not quite there. But quite frankly, all the guys on PUP besides JPP and Hanoski, I think are pretty close to coming off.
Yeah, we talked about Snee before.
Can I ask
you
a quick one about the offensive?
10's going to be tough to keep, though, because you got a linebacking situation where guys, you know, are not reliable. You know, you don't know about Jaquan Williams' health. You don't know about Keith Rivers. You don't know about Curry. There are always health issues with those guys, so you got to worry about that. In the secondary, you know, is Terrell Thomas going to be a pup? Is he going to be an IR? Is he even going to be on this team? You just don't know that. You got to worry about Hanoski at fullback. You know, are they going to carry an extra fullback because Hanoski can't go? Is he going to wind up being pup? There are going to be other positions that may dictate how many you can keep at another position. That's just the way it's going to be.
Let me ask you a quick question about the linebackers. I know, John, we've had this discussion before, and you don't agree with me, or said no as an answer to this question. Paul, is there a chance we carry 5 linebackers?
I know they want to keep 6. They want to. I don't know if they can, but they want to. And by the way, we haven't even addressed the fact that they're going to have to burn a roster spot for 3 quarterbacks because they don't want to trade Nassib. They don't want to cut David Carr. They really want to keep 3 quarterbacks. That's an extra spot that's got to come from another position.
Yeah, and I could see us carrying 10 defensive backs. Then it really gets tough.
Well, what do you do now with Will Hill?
Well, honestly, I think you keep more defensive linemen than you do defensive backs, just because I think the guys in the defensive line are more talented. And I think that's what dictates it. I think at that point, you go the old keep the best player available route, and I think those guys are on the defensive line. They're not in the secondary.
Well, it depends on if they prove during the preseason that they are warranted.
Sure.
Because quite frankly, you look at the safety spot, and right now Mundy's running as the third safety. You know they're going to keep Cooper Taylor.
So there's your 4. And you're not keeping more than 4 safeties.
Okay? You can't.
You're not.
There's no way.
You can't.
So Will Hill, we know, is suspended, so he doesn't count on the 53 for the first 4 games.
Right.
That, in a way, I hate to say this, I don't want to use the word blessing, but my goodness, that gives you an opportunity to hide a safety for 4 weeks.
It does.
And they may wind up needing Will Hill come October, for all you know.
Well, yeah, and we could say the same thing about Terrell Thomas. If he stays on the pup list, that might be a nice midseason replacement if somebody gets nicked up for the second half.
Well, and that's why I think Terrell Thomas is going to be here one way or the other. I don't think they're just going to cut him or he's going to retire. I think, you know, he'll go pup if he has to. And, you know, at the end of October, they may just need him.
Thanks for the call, Len.
Thank you. Can I ask one more quick question?
Yeah, real quick, Len.
Okay, I can get to 7 on the offensive line. Who are the guys after that? I mean, the first, you know, the first 7 are pretty obvious. I mean, is Cordell 8? Is McCants and the guard Mosley? I'll hang up and let you guys kind of answer that off. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it. I know they really like Brandon Mosley. They do. 4th-round pick last year. He got hurt. He had to put on IR. They like Mosley. They can swing to guard and tackle a little bit.
They do.
I'm not sure if Mosley's ahead of Cordell, because they can move Booth to center if they have to, and I think that's their backup center almost in their pocket. But I think that'll be an interesting spot for that 8th offensive line position. I really do.
And I'll tell you what, they really like this kid Herman, the rookie that they drafted this year.
I forgot about Eric Herman. But yeah, because he's on. He's on the team.
I would be very surprised if they cut him.
I think they're also going to start working him at center, too, and he could be the backup center. I think Jim Cordell might be out of a job. It's going
to
be tough.
It would seem to me he's got a bit of an uphill climb here, John. Again, you know, Len, I'm going to say this for like the fifth time today. That's why competition during these four preseason games is really going to get my juices flowing.
On Wednesday, it's a day off. I'm going to come up with my 53. I'm going to break it down by position. I want you to do the same. It's your day off. I want you to sit down. I want you to come up with your 53.
This
not necessarily players, but I want positions. How many guys at each position?
Oh, okay. Because in terms of players, and you know they've had the writers have had this competition for a long time.
Right.
This one's a tough one, a real tough one.
I mean, if you want, what we can do. Wednesday's our day off. Lance will be here. Do you want me, you, Lance? We could have Anita do it on Thursday. How about we all do our 53-man roster as of this week, and then we'll compare it, and then we'll compare them at the end of camp. How about that? You want to do that for fun?
I don't know. That's a tough one.
Oh, dude, what's an out?
I'm afraid I'm going to embarrass myself because there's going to be a lot of surprises. I'm telling you. And I still think there's a running back, as you said. I've been saying this for weeks.
There's probably
a running back that's coming in from the outside.
I do plan on embarrassing you, so that should be fun.
I'm much more likely to go how many guys at each position than I am naming names.
That's fine. That's okay. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
All right, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Alex in New Jersey. Two more callers to wrap up the show. What's up, Alex? Three more, excuse me.
Yeah, hey.
Good.
I was wondering, because of the Terrell Thomas issue.
Right.
And I was thinking, for his health, I was thinking maybe they should move him to safety and have maybe move possibly because Will Hill is a little bit smaller to maybe cornerback because of Terrell Thomas' health.
I don't think Will Hill's playing corner, but I do think there's a chance Terrell Thomas, if he gets healthy, could you be used as a hybrid safety corner guy that plays mostly inside.
I mean, the first choice is still to see if Thomas is a capable corner. They've made that very clear. That's what he is. But John is right. If he can't play the corner spot in an effective manner, you could see him still make this team and be a contributor as a kind of a hybrid. I agree with that.
Like, I'm kind of worried for either Webster or Mukumara.
Why?
Because, like, I read your guys' post on the Giants.com and stuff, and he says he wants to be an X factor, and if he gets good enough, maybe the Giants should possibly consider starting him over either Webster or Mukumara.
Look, I really like
they struggle.
I really like Thomas a lot, and I admire his gumption, but to think right now that he's got a chance to start at corner for this team this
little
year,
much.
I just don't see it. I just don't. I mean, there are too many guys ahead of him. Aaron Ross is ahead of him, and Hosley probably as well.
It's too much to ask. I mean, to come back with three ACLs and be a starting corner, I mean, that's hard.
That is hard.
Thanks for the call, Alex.
Thank you.
Hey, take it easy. 201-939-4513. Corey's in New Jersey. Corey, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How you doing, Corey?
I'm good, yourself. I'm glad to be talking.
I
have a question about it's a quick receiver and defensive back question.
Sure.
Now, as I was watching the trades and stuff like that, now I've been having this argument with all types of sports fans. I mean, as far as from different teams, picking up Ross, I think was a good move. But do you think it would be a better move? Even though we have like younger guys besides, not talking about Mukumura and Webster, to pick up Woodson over Ross. What would your pick be?
Charles
you
Woodson.
Think that's a better pick?
How much money were you going to pay him?
He's going to keep him for 1 year.
Well,
I mean,
Corey,
he's got about a good 1.5 year in him, Woodson. But I think he's a bigger factor than Ross.
Well, Corey, I agree.
He's an inside and outside guy.
Corey, if you come to me and you tell me at the same price would I rather have Charles Woodson or Aaron Ross, I'm going to take Charles Woodson. But the Giants literally are right up against the cap. I mean, they are right there. So if they wanted to spend more money to bring in Charles Woodson, they would have to figure out another guy to either renegotiate or cut outright. So I think based on cost-benefit, I think they made the right move because Woodson would probably be 3 or 4 times more expensive than Aaron Ross.
Yeah, you know what? That is right. Now, one thing about the wide receiver core.
Sure.
Now, we got a great core. I love my wide receiver core, but what I'm trying to see is what do you think they're really going to be doing with Ramsey Barton? Do you think he's not because I know he doesn't. He's actually, once he finally started coming off the line hard enough last year, he had that one terrible game against the Eagles in week three. But I don't think it was his fault. And then they, like, clotheslined him after that. Like, what do you think as far as that judgment call? Because he's 6'6". And when he's in a good game, he's, like, he's a crusher. And it takes off all the focus on Cruz. And
Let me make something very clear to you.
You can't teach height. That's number one.
Okay. Ramsey Barden does have some skills. He is limited. He could be an effective role player in certain offenses, and I do believe that despite the fact that he's been disappointing for the Giants, I think there's probably room for him somewhere in this league. Is there room for him here? I'm not sure. And one of the reasons I'm not sure, John,
good answer, Paul,
is because I don't know how many receivers the Giants can keep. We're talking about keeping 9 or 10 linemen. We're talking about keeping 9 or maybe 10 defensive backs. We're talking about keeping maybe 6 linebackers. We're talking about 7 or maybe 8 or 9 offensive linemen. We're 3 quarterbacks. How many receivers are you going to keep on the 53? Because right now, think about it. Nix, Cruz, Randall, Murphy, those are your 4. So there's room for one more receiver. Now, can Ramses Barden be that guy? Is Brandon Collins that guy? Is Horn that guy? Is Jernigan that guy? You said before, Jernigan's having dropsy's problems again. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
But they also are still trying to force feed Jernigan into the return game, hoping that he can be a kickoff and punt return guy. The truth is, the Giants are not going to be able to keep a whole slew of receivers. And, you know, in years past, they've been able to keep 6. I'm not so sure they're going to be able. I think they can't keep more than 5. And if Jernigan should take the return duties, you know, we're talking before, that's why the return duties are so key. John, I'm telling you right now, I'm watching the returns every practice. I'm going to watch the returns in every preseason game. Guys like Michael Cox, guys like Jarrell Jernigan, these guys need to be able to make an impact in the return game because that could be their ticket on the team, given that there are not enough slots at their respective positions to justify them staying on this roster.
That's the only thing. It kind of ticked me off because we should have been, being the fact that Jernigan has been a disappointment, we should have been a factor as in trying to get at least someone, if not in the 4th or 5th round in the draft, because David Wilson was a key guy. Like, he was like a dream come true when I see him running back everything. But now we need him in the backfield more than anything. And with him and Brown, you know, if he can stay healthy, it would be a great impact. That's why we need a kick return. But Jernigan, I think he's thinking too much, and he doesn't have enough heart to do it.
I will tell you this. He's had many opportunities to get it done here, and he hasn't seized them. This may be his last shot. I certainly think it is. And one more thing, and let's make this very, very, very clear, okay?
Very clear.
The Giants, in the worst way, would like to get David Wilson off kickoff returns. They really do. They would like to have somebody else take that job and be as good, if not maybe nearly as good as David Wilson, so they can get him out of there.
He's pretty special, though. I'm not sure you're going to find that guy.
And that's the problem.
Right.
He's that good. But they want him off there, John. They really do. But they need somebody in the preseason to take that spot and say, look, it's okay. You can move Wilson off.
Thanks for the call, Corey.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. Let's go to our final call of the show before we say goodbye. That's Andrew in Virginia. Andrew, good morning.
Guys, this show is popping. You have to expand. It's been so good the last couple of weeks. You've really got to think about it. I love it. I love the enthusiasm, the passion, and the callers have been great. Don't you agree?
Andrew, I appreciate it. I wish I had enough hours in the day. I'd be more than happy to do a 2 to 3 hour show. Unfortunately, I got a TV show every night I got to worry about.
You want to kill this guy, don't you?
You guys are book solid. I just have loved the show, but I want to focus on defense for a second. And, Paul, what you were just saying about maybe not even being able to keep, you know, 6 receivers anymore because of all that they've got to do elsewhere. Jenny Ventures just wrote a great article on Monday Morning Quarterback about Tuck saying something that got her thinking maybe they're going to be doing some more 3-4 looks this year to help with some of these creative offenses. Are they going to be keeping more defensive backs?
Well, hold on. I didn't see the article by Jenny, and I like her a lot, but I think what you're going to see a lot more of is the two linebacker sets. You'll see the extra safety, the extra defensive backs in there a lot. I think the talent level of the linebackers is as such that you're going to want those guys on the field for as few snaps as possible. So you'll be seeing a lot of two linebacker sets. I don't think you're going to be seeing three defensive line sets per se.
I'm with Paul on that. I agree.
Well, then, I mean, so our big boys in the middle now that we just signed have got to stop the run.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, that's why they were brought here. That's why they were brought here. That's why they drafted Hankins.
But then how are they going to work these defensive ends in if that's how it's going to be? I mean, they've got versatile guys like Tracy Kiwi that can play with their hand on the ground or not.
No. Kiwi's a lineman now. Kiwi's not playing linebacker anymore. They've made that very clear, and he's very happy to hear it, too. Don't think of him as a hybrid.
How are they going to get this rotation straight then? I mean, there's just so many moving parts to this thing now.
There are going to be some guys, despite their talent, that aren't going to get the number of snaps they might deserve on another team on the defensive line, assuming everyone's healthy, which you never know if that's going to be the case. But you're right. You're going to have somebody, whether it's Adrian Tracy, whether it's Demontre Moore, whether it's John Hankins, whether it's Marcus Kuhn or Mike Patterson, you know, 3-4, all those guys aren't going to play as much as maybe they deserve to play, but that's just the way it goes.
You know what, though? To be honest, that may not be a bad thing, John, because I don't think, you know, Demontre Moore is ready to take 25 snaps a game. I don't think Adrian Tracy is the all-around package that he might think he is to where he's a 40-snap-a-game guy.
I agree with that.
You know? So the Giants do have a bunch of guys. They've got numbers here of guys who can play specific roles. They can play matchups. They can play schemes. They can play sub-packages. And I think that may be the best way to utilize their skills.
So you think there is going to be a rotation, and it may vary from game to game more than it maybe ever has?
I don't use the word rotation. I use the word matchup. I think you're going to see are matchup players. And it's going to depend on what they're facing in a particular week, what they're facing in particular situations, personnel deployment on the other team, matchups.
Well, Andrew, remember, too, against some of these smaller teams, like, say, the Eagles, who don't really have a power running game, you might see Tuck a defensive tackle even with Colin Jenkins if you want some more speed with Tracy and Kiwanuka at the end.
Sure.
You can mix and match based on who you're playing.
Somebody said to me the other day on my Twitter, they wanted to know who the Giants' starting linebackers are going to be week one against the Dallas Cowboys. And I think my answer overnight was, and I still think right now that's a very hard question to answer, John.
I think
we both agree because the linebacking spot's wide open.
Yeah.
But I think I said overnight, Keith Rivers and Jaquan Williams. I'm giving Jaquan the benefit of the doubt that over the course of the 4 preseason games, he will prove he's healthy enough to take the role back from Spencer Paysinger,
you know what, though?
Who's right now running as the number one.
And give Spencer Paysinger a lot of credit. He's worked his way up through the depth chart here since he got here as an undrafted free agent, and he's done everything this team has asked him to do. And he's the nicest guy in the world.
And
if
they've rewarded him for it.
He's quiet. He's soft-spoken. And I have no problem with Jaquan, but deep down, I'm rooting for Spencer Paysinger just because I like the story and I like the guy.
This is a guy who's earned his snaps.
Yeah.
He really has, but I think over the course of the preseason game, Jaquan will probably win the spot because I think he's the more talented player.
I think he's more talented. I agree.
Okay, so I said in my overnight Twitter response, it will be Keith Rivers and Jaquan Williams, and that's where I left it at 2 because I think it's entirely possible the Cowboys come out with a spread offense. They come out with 3 and 4 wides right away at the beginning of the game because they're gonna want to see what Tony can do right away, you know. And I'm thinking the Giants are going to go right to that 2 linebacker package. You're going to see the extra DB. I don't think you're going to see 3 linebackers on the field in that first game.
Yep.
Isn't Herzlick calling plays with the ones right now?
He is.
But against that type of set, you don't want Herzlick on the field.
Because he's not great against the pass, and you probably might not even start your first play on defense in your standard 4-3 base. You might want to start in the nickel.
Yeah, so what you guys are saying is we're going to shift our – because we ran 4-3 base 44% of the time last year or something like that.
Okay.
You're thinking it's going to be a base nickel the whole time.
Not the whole time, but I think you'll see – let me put it this way. They will not be in the 4-3 base more than 50% of the time. How about that?
Okay. All right. Well, you know, and that's where a guy like Terrell Thomas in his prime was great at coming down and stopping the run.
No doubt. Pro Bowl caliber player.
Someone needs to do it. I don't know if it can be Aaron Ross. I don't know if it can be Hoseley, but someone. I mean, remember when TT was standing guys up in their tracks?
Let me tell you something. I talked to Prince Amukamara yesterday, and Prince has really done a good job of getting stronger, of maturing his body, of
much broader
himself up.
Much broader.
And he told me flat out there are two reasons he did it. One, because he wants to get more physical with receivers because he knows that's taking his game to the next level. And two, he understands how important it is for corners to run support, especially against these stretch quarterbacks who like to rove left and right, try to move the pocket. Prince understands that. I think he really wants to step up his game to another level. The Giants are going to be very happy with him.
Thanks for the call, Andrew.
Yeah, talk to you guys later.
Hey, take it easy, man. Andrew's always busted me on Twitter. He wants me to expand the show to like 3 hours every day. I'm like, dude.
3 hours?
He wants it all day long. Off season, too. He doesn't care. And to the credit of the callers, we actually get enough callers to probably do a couple hours a day, to be honest with you.
Oh, I agree. Three, though? That's a lot.
Nah, I know. Well, Andrew's a little ambitious. That's okay.
That's all right. Hey, you know what? I don't stop. I'm 24/7, so I guess I can dig it.
All right, let's see what we got here on Twitter.
Got a few there?
Let's see. Marwan Ali, when we talked about practice, he points out that Ramsey's Barden was a practice player Hall of Famer for a while there, too. That's another one of those guys that
Sonora's
better
Morris
in practice. That's the guy that I brought up, correct. Mm-hmm. Mike Farmer agrees with you. He thinks Ruben Randall's style play really reminds me of Toomer rather than Burris. Let's see. Laura Reno listening, also from Virginia. We have a lot of Giant fans in Virginia. I guess a lot of people move down there from here to, you know, work in that area. Marwan Ali points out that I know you quoted Wellington Mara before. Remember, he was also the guy in charge of the Giants in the 70s when they had some of their down years, but learned from those mistakes, and eventually, you know, George Young got put in charge and things got turned around. Mike Farmer, can Adrian Tracy be used as a linebacker at all? He looks great as an edge rusher. I don't think Adrian Tracy will be used as a linebacker much. I consider him a defensive end first and foremost. And Mike Farmer, we've had this argument before. He never wants to see Tuck a defensive tackle because he thinks that could be too rough on his shoulder.
Well, that's not a bad point.
No, it's not. It's not.
2 years of injury-plagued seasons.
But he can hurt that at defensive end, too. Let's be honest.
He can. And quite honestly, you know, I just want Justin Tuck to be Justin Tuck again. And, you know, whether he's not he's got to do it at tackle or end doesn't really bother me so much as I just want to see him be him. So,
hey, look, and he's working at it. And
he
know,
is.
He's. I know people say, oh, he's working harder than he's ever worked before. Well, I could tell you, he's worked harder than anybody else on this Giants team, or at least as hard as everybody else on this Giants team. He's been in this gym on days where he doesn't have to be more than any other player on this team. Marcus Coon's right behind him, by the way. He's been here an awful lot, too. But every day.
And can I add one thing, John? We talked about it before the program off
sure.
the air when I brought up Demontre Moore to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at times, Justin Tuck has been a reluctant leader on this team, a reluctant captain, if you will. He really never wanted to be voted team captain anyway, and the players voted him defensive team captain a couple of years in a row. And he always said how uncomfortable he was speaking in those terms. But yet, what did I hear from Demontre Moore yesterday? That Justin Tuck has taken him under his wing, and he has really been the guy, even Kiwanuka to some degree as well, but Tuck has been the guy who he singled out as a guy who has really helped show him the ropes and helped teach him about what it takes to be a successful defensive end in this league. I kind of think that's significant. I think that shows that Justin Tuck is certainly much more adapting to that leadership role and captain's role than maybe he had been in the past.
Chris Cahill writes in, do you think Charles James has a shot to make this team? He's been quiet in practice, hasn't made a lot of plays, but at the same time, you haven't seen him get beat a whole lot either. So I think he's been pretty solid early on here.
He was my rookie minicamp dark horse to make the team. And remember,
I like him too.
And I qualify that as practice squad does make the team for me. So he was my pick from way back when.
At Toby Gleish, who's going to step in at slot if Cruz goes down. I think you have the Brandon Collins, Gerald Jernigan's probably the backup at slot at this point.
Right.
And that's about it. Everybody, good job on Twitter, Paul. Excellent job. Excellent job on the phones, everybody. We're going to head out, watch practice, do media avails. Lance and I will be back with you tomorrow morning, same time, same place, 930Giants.com. Make sure you're there, everybody. Have a good night. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned to Giants.com MSG. For all the latest from camp. And MSG tonight, you'll see Paul Dottino talk to Mark Herzlich, Bob Pop at Carl Banks. Giants training camp live on MSG Plus at 6 p.m. Make sure you stay tuned. And, of course, stay tuned to Giants.com for all the latest. We'll have the highlights from practice moments after they happen right on the Giants Twitter account and on Giants.com. Make sure you check it out. Have a good one. See you tomorrow morning on Big Blue Kickoff live right here on Giants.com.